So on both sides, we're up to page Nun Zion, and this is called Os Vav. And just to reiterate the last point that we made, there was a machlokas between the Marit and other poskim regarding chazara. So you have a cooked food and you want to put it back on the fire. You're not allowed to put it back on the fire on Shabbos. That's called the gzera of chazara. And the question is, if you need hot food for your meal in such a scenario, would you be allowed to tell a guy to put the food on the fire? And the Maritz said, it's okay. He was matir it. And others said, no, it's not mutter. So what we suggested was, based on this presentation of Rav Schechter, that there's a paradox here with regard to gzeros. The paradox is that as a general rule, a gzera in its relationship to a molacha is lekula. But the paradox is that the flip side is also true. Paradoxically, you could have a chumra in a gzera. And that is that a gzera could even apply b'shei v'altase, without an action. Whereas a molacha, by definition, requires an action of kumvase. In the case of Amira l'Nachri, we have a shevi altase. Notice it's the guy who does the malacha for you. And again, we're going to come back to this point a little bit later, but right now, we're assuming that the guy does the malacha. You're perfectly passive as far as the malacha is concerned. And because of that, all the gzeros are going to apply in the case of Amira l'Nachri. Again, leaving out the Marit for a moment, he's the exception to the rule, but all the poskim who argue with this Marit, and they prohibit Chazara al Yidei Akum, that's because they're of the opinion that Akum is always nothing more than a Gzera. I'm just going to take 1 minute to insert the following. How do we know that Akum is a Gzera? So that's the Gemara that we began with, which he quotes back on Daf Nun, just to remind you, and the sugya is on Daf Kuf Chav Tes, and the sugya says that Amira l'Nachri is mutter b'makom chole. And we suggested, and we had many proofs for this, that chole is only mater gzera and not a malach. So the very fact that the Gemara allows Amira l'Nachri for the sake of a chole, that proves that Amira l'Nachri is only a gzera and not a malacha. And now there's a gzera which is called chazara. I'm not allowed to put the food back on the fire. Not only does that gzera enjoin me from personally putting the food on the fire, b'kuvase, but included in that gzera is that the food gets heated up on Shabbos because someone, as a result of my command, placed the food on the fire. And that means that when you have a gzera, we're not interested. The emphasis is not on your maisa b'kumvase, it's on the result of the maisa, as we call it, the matzav, the mitziyut, the totzah, all those different words. And if the pot is cooked on Shabbos as a result of your amira l'nachri, then you have violated this iser. Now, we're assuming now that there's something called shvus d'shvus b'makom mitzvah. That you'll see on page Nun Vav. And again, with this, we'll move on to Nun Zayin, because that's really the subject of our discussion for today. But way back on page Nun Vav, we had the principle of Shvus to Shvus, B'makom Mitzvah. So we would say the following, that number one, Chazara is a Shvus. Number two, Amir Yaakov is a Shvus. And number three, he needs hot food for his Su'udas Shabbos. That's called Makom Mitzvah. And if we churn these all out, A, B, and C, what we end up with is a hot cholent. No, I mean to say, what we end up with is the Marit. And the Marit says that there's no reason to hesitate allowing Chazara, which is a violation of one Shavuos, Al Yidei Nachri, which is a violation of a second Shavuos, for the purpose of Suda Shabbos. What is the opposite opinion of the poskim who argue with the Marit? They maintain that even if I grant you that Chazara is a Gzeira on Shabbos, which we, again, we had a long discussion about this last time, we're not going to go over it, whether Chazara is Mechzei Kimavashel, or it's a Shema Yechat B'Gecholim. Even if I grant you that Chazara is to be downgraded to the level of a Gzeira, but nevertheless, the Gzeira is that you shouldn't have your pot cooked on Shabbos through Chazara. It doesn't matter whether you did the Chazara actively, or you told the Akum to do the Chazara. In both cases, you violate the Gzera.
But is that true? You say your pot shouldn't be cooked. When, what if it was put on there by a Yid? It was no Amira. What at all? He put it on. He found the pot. He put it onto the thing.
So that's the sugya of Maisa Shabbos, which we'll get up to. In other words, are you allowed to enjoy the benefit of a violation of a? And that also is going to be to bent on this machlokas whether Chazara is a gzera or a malacha. But I don't want to let the cat out of the bag. But keep in mind that our ultimate goal is to try to prove that Maisa Shabbos only applies when you violated a malach on Shabbos. But then we're going to have to ask another question, Alan, which you touch on. Even if you apply the principle of Maisa Shabbos and a malach was violated, whether it's Doraisa, Dorabonin, I don't care, but whether or not Maisa Shabbos is only us to the person who violated the Isur malach or to everyone else. But be that as it may, leaving out Maisa Shabbos for a moment, so again, what is the counter argument against the Marit, because offhand the Marit makes 100% sense. We should be mekil in a case of Chazara, which is only Durabana, and it's only a Shvus, through the Akum, which is also Amil and Achri Shvus, the Makom Mitzvah. And the answer is that you can only apply the principle of a Shvus through an Akum if that Shvus is a Malacha. And here's the paradox. If the Shvus is Begeter Malacha, then if I send the guy to do that Shvus, then what's absent here is a Malacha B'Kuvaseh. And there is no such thing as a Malacha B'Shevi Altaseh, which we had a long discussion about last time.
Right.
But if on the other hand, I define and subsume Chazara under the category of Gzera, then the Gzera includes a broader scope, even Shevi Altase. And if that be the case, once I give the Akum, the okay, you know, the go-ahead to, so to speak, cook the food, again, technically it's not cooking because Ein Bishlach HaBishl, but to reheat the food in a Chazara situation, I have violated that very Shvus of Chazara. So what are you adding another Shvus? The second Shvus is meant to ameliorate a situation where you have only violated a shvus, right? So you add another shvus. But the problem is that you don't gain anything by adding the second shvus. What do you gain by telling the Akum? You're still back to the violation of the original shvus, namely of Chazara. Because Chazara is not limited to your personal active Chazara. It includes even the Chazara al-Yidei Akum. So that's what you'll see here in Os Hey, and today we want to start Os Nun.
But this machlok is whether the Gzeres Chachamim was a B'Shevta Al Taisa in addition to Kumbaseh. How is it even a machlok is in the issue? Why don't they know? You know, understand? Where's the source of the Gzeres to begin with? The Rav Shapiro makes it sound like you have to know what the actual.
Well, the Mishnah itself at the beginning of Kira codifies the Shvus of Chazor. But what the Mishnah doesn't do for us, it doesn't tell us why the Chachamim prohibited Chazor. And here's where the Rishonim stepped up to the plate and they debated this tooth and nail. One school of Rishonim said that it's Gzeira Shem Yechat B'Gecholim. And the other school of thought said, no, it's Michzikim Avashel. And the difference between the two is that the first one calls it a Gzeira. And a Gzeira Atu Havara. The second one calls it a malacha. This is an expansion, midrabanan, of the getter of bishul. Although the Torah says technically there's no bishul here because it's already mevushal. The chachamim, in a sense, dropped the requirement of, or that technicality of ein bishlach bishul. They said yesh bishlach bishul. So when you put this cooked food on the fire, you are in effect midrabanan being implementing the malach of bishul. The Marit says, if that be the case, why don't I accomplish this Bishul by sending a guy? And if I send a guy, then what I've done is, I've introduced a Shevi Altaseh to the equation. And with regard to a Malacha Drabbanan, because again the Ma'arit belongs to that school of thought that Chazor is Mechzi Kibishal, which based on a Rashi at the beginning of Kira and other Rishonim as well, then we have paradoxically a Kula by upgrading Chazor to the level of a Malacha, we now can say that B'Sheva Al Taseh, we mitigate this circumstance and we're going to allow that for the sake of a mitzvah. However, if the other poskim did not buy into this, meaning they took the other school of thought of Shema Yechata B'Gecholim, which we pointed out very well, is the Shita of the Tosvis, the Baliatosis, Shita of the Balamar. Do you remember this discussion?
Yeah.
That fundamentally, Chazara is a Gzera Shema Yechata B'Gecholim. Well, a Gzera could be violated either actively on the part of the Over, of the he who violates the Gzera, or inactively by commissioning a guy, and that is also included in the violation of the Gzera, and therefore by adding Amir al-Nakhri, you gain absolutely nothing. And wait a second, and what was, again, I don't know how much of this we should review, because ultimately my goal is to finish. I really want to get on to other, I mean, it's a beautiful essay. I mean, it's mamish mind-boggling what he covers here, but I do want to leave, if you can leave your questions for later, so that we can at least start this year. You know, this is just a tag on to review some of the others. But we had a very basic principle that Amir al-Nakhri doesn't help in the case of Gzera. And again, that was back on page Nun Hey in the paragraph that started with the Magen Avraham. And that was a discussion of telling a wild idea, but the Shulchan Aruch actually dedicates a se'if to this in Shin Lamed Ches, telling the guy to play music at his Sudas Nesu'in on Friday night. And lo and behold, there were those who wanted to be Mekil, because they said, look, playing music is itself a shvus. Yeah. Telling the guy to play the music is another shvus, Amir al-Nakhri. And for the great mitzvah of Sudas Nesu'in to enhance, and again, it's so far into our ears, you know, to imagine a concert of Paul Jones, you know, playing at a marriage ceremony on a Friday night. I mean, no, I was looking for Patrick. What are the guys' names? You know, Patrick, Christopher, right? Imagine Patrick and Christopher playing for us the fiddle at a Yiddish chasana in a shtetl in Poland on a Friday night. So the Machmirim say we can't allow this. Why? Because Hashmas Kol, the Iser of Nigun B'Klei Shir, is only Gzera. So it's only Gzera. I don't know, that's more of a reason to be Mekil L'tzorach Mitzvah and allow the guy to play the Shir. No. If it's Klei Nigun B'Toras Gzera, then Amir L'Yach Nachri doesn't help you at all. And that's the paradox here. Okay, now we're up to number four. Okay, then, number Vav begins with a Gemara, a Tosfos, specifically a Masechta Megillah. Abby, that's not a Gemara Megillah by any chance,
no,
is it? No. Okay, I didn't look out. 1 second. Yeah?
Sure.
The problem is I really need someone to organize this forum for me. I'm not expecting anyone to serve me, but just for the sake of time, because I really hope maybe we'll finish this today. I don't know, maybe I'm shooting for the stars here, but if you don't mind opening up, because there are a lot of Masechtas in that volume, opening up to Megillah Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and see if you could find Tosfos Dibra Maskil V'Avirenu.
There
too. Okay, so I'm not sure which one it is. If you see about Tekiah, which one has the word Tekiah B'Shofar in it? Or at least Tekiah. We started this last week, but we never got a chance to finish it. That's it. Excellent. It's good. Thank you so much. You saved me a lot of time. He says the following, Tosfos. Nishal Lehari Halevi, one of the Bali Tosfos, asked the following question. What's going on over here? Heich Tokim B'motzoi Yom Kippur. The scenario is the following. They blew the shofar at the end of the service, of the end of Ne'ilah, before they recited Hamavdil, before Avdolah. Valo, Osir Lasos Malocha Ad Shiyavdil. We don't allow Malocha until after Avdallah, so why are they blowing the shofar? Okay, today we're very religious, so we don't allow blowing the shofar until after Ma'ariv, or at least until after, you know, you could say Amavdil. But in the original, minog, it was that they blew the shofar even before Avdallah. How is this allowed?
We also blow shofar.
You don't say Avdallah?
No.
I say Avdallah. I say Amavdil ben Kosh Lechol.
At the end of Nila, you say Avdallah?
Yeah. And then not the whole Avdallah. I just say Baruch Amavdil ben Kosh Lechol. You don't have
that.
All right. I became the Frumer now. Okay. Now, that's pretty rare, but okay. It happens, you know, once in a blue moon. Tirates. So he offers the following answer. Did Tkia shofar Chachma? The Eino Malacha. Please emphasize those two words. The Eino Malacha. And therefore, he says, you're allowed to do it during this time period, which is called Tosefes Shabbos, or in the case of Yom Kippur, Tosefes Yom HaKippur. So what's going on? We have the following elements that have the variables. Number one, we have to guarantee that it's after Tzeis HaKochav. After Tzeis HaKochav, before Avdallah, during that period of time, is called what?
Tosefes.
Okay, that drops us one level. And we'll see how that kicks in here. Number two, we're blowing a shofar, which is not a malacha. Now, of course it's not a malacha. We have 39 malachas. Blowing shofar is not one of them. But it means it's not even a malacha
midrabanan.
But rather, it's a gzeira derabanan. Says Rav Shechter, you see an unbelievable chiddush here from this Tosfos, and it's a halachic principle that has far-reaching implications. That during Tosefes Shabbos, there's no such thing as an Iser Gzeira Derabbanan. And he's going to extend this to the case of Hachana. We're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for Motzi Shabbos. That's not a Doraisa, it's only a Derabbanan. So we have now, and I'm going to let me finish my sentence here, but we have now two cases of heterim during Tosefes Shabbos. So we'll see if we can beef up the list. But right now we have two on the list. Number one, we have Tkiyas Shofar. And number two, we have Hachana. What's the common link between these two that allow us perhaps to expand the list of all that's mutter during Tosefes Shabbos? They both are Gzeros and not Malachos. Excellent. So we'll get to Amir Liakim. But the fact that Tkiyas Shofar is not a malacha, that's explicit. Chachmi v'ein a malacha. The fact that Achana is not a malacha is very clear, at least if he's not doing malachas. And we have to assume he's not doing malachas because it's during Tosefes Shabbos before Avdallah. For sure he's not doing malachas. So when we talk about Achana by definition, we're not talking about a malacha, we're talking about a gzera. And during Tosefes Shabbos, there's no gzeira. Again, we have to figure out why, but there's no gzeira. So if Gedalia points out, if that be the case, let's expand our list. So if you take a look at footnote number 10, he writes on the bottom of the page that we've already proven from the Sugin Shin Chav Tes at the end of Masech to Shabbos that Amir Lenachri is only a gzeira. It's not a malach, and therefore it was Mutter B'Mokum Choli. Then Amir Lenachri during Bein Hashmashos, I'm sorry, forget about Bein Hashmashos, we'll get to Bein Hashmashos in just a minute, I don't want to confuse you, during Tosefes Shabbos is going to be Mutter. What other gzeiros? Okay, now not only are we preparing for after Shabbos, but we're preparing for a Chasana. There's going to be a wedding on Motzi Shabbos. This I can tell you because my father would officiate at a wedding, and the big issue with the caterer was they used to start preparation. It wasn't even Tosefes Shabbos. This was a big issue. My father suffered a lot from this because we had a caterer called Gem Caterers in the shul. But okay, Baruch Hashem, things have improved over the years, but this was a whole issue. But you know what? Why don't I tune up my musical instruments for the sake of a chasana? It's only Tosefes Shabbos. And now we have to ask ourselves the following question. Well, what is the nature of the gzeira of Hashmas Kol of Kli Nigun? What did we just conclude before? It's only a gzeira. It's not a malacha. In fact, based on that, we came to the conclusion that there might be a possibility of having the Goyim play on Friday night, but then we came to the conclusion that that's impossible because the Gzeira includes even something that's going. But now I'm not talking about Amir Lenach. So again, Amir Lenachri, in the case of another Gzeira, is going to be a problem. That's what we discussed at great length. But let's talk about a Yisrael. Can a Yisrael prepare for Motzei Shabbos during Tosefes Shabbos?
Why prepare? Play.
That's what I meant to say. He should tune up his machine. Well, I don't know if the chasen itself might be a problem, but at least prepare for the chasen.
How is Tosefes Shabbos compared to Friday night?
Friday night, the same thing.
Why?
The same thing. There's no difference.
Friday night Shabbos.
Oh, I didn't know what you meant. I thought you meant Tosefes Shabbos going into Friday night.
Oh, this is Tosefes Shabbos after.
Correct, but I'm saying the same thing would apply going into Shabbos.
Fine, but we're not talking about going into Shabbos. We're talking about actually on Friday night.
Wait a second. Let's start again. Tosis in Megillah wants to know, how did you blow the shofar on Motzei Yom Kippur?
Right.
So Tosis says it's Chachma V'Eina Malach. Right. So the question is, okay, Chachma V'Eina Malach, but this Tosefes Yontif. I mean, the whole question that was raised is, how can we blow the shofar before Avdolah? So the answer is that Tosefes Shabbos doesn't engender an Iser Gzeira. It only generates an Iser Malacha. So whatever is considered a gzeira is mutter during Tosefes Shabbos. So now we have three categories, and maybe four. We have the case of tkiya shofar. We have the case of hachana. We have the case of kli nigun, which we said was a gzeira, not a malach. Again, we said it l'chumra because we said that you can't have the kli nigun on Friday night through a guy. Because when we apply a gzeira d'rabban, a guy doesn't help you one iota. But at the same time, we have a kula once we classify, in this case, kli nigun as a gzeira. And that is that it will be mutter during Tosefes Shabbos, and that's why the Riyal Levi in Tosefes says you're allowed to blow the shofar during Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Tov, because it is a gzera. So we have that, and now we're adding Amir Lenachri, because we've already proven from the Gemara over there that since Amir Lenachri is mutter b'makom choleh, what about Muktzah, Rabosai? Am I allowed to move Muktzah before Avdolah? This is mamash a major issue. I put away my cell phone in shul because I forgot to whatever, you know. So can I run over and pull out my cell phone from the drawer before Avdolah? Again, if he said Baruch HaMavdil, that's a different story. But he didn't say Baruch HaMavdil. And the answer is that Muktzah is only a gzera, and during Tosefes Shabbos is no gzera. What else? So we have Kli Nigun, we have, which is Hashmas Kol, we have Amir Lenachri, we have, what do we just add now? Muktzah, we had Tkiya Shofar, so that's what we have so far. I'm sure Amir Lenachri. So I'm sure we'll be able to expand the list. And this is very, very fascinating because he wants to suggest that, and this is on the top left column, that if we talk about a malacha derabbanan, we gave a number of examples of a malacha derabbanan. Let's say we spoke about Rashi in Chaliva. Tosus accuses Rashi of holding that Chaliva is disha on a derabbanan level because ein disha l'begduli karka. That's a malacha derabbanan. That would not be mutter. So you can't start milking your cows during Tosefes Shabbos the way he's saying it. And then we had the case of Malach Shenit Tzricha Legufa. There were two possibilities. We didn't know whether Malach Shenit Tzricha Legufa is a Chisar and a Meleches Machsheves, in which case it's only a Gzera Derabbanan, or no. A Malach Shenit Tzricha Legufa is a Meleches Machsheves, but it's not Dumya de Mishkan. And then we classified it as a Gzera Derabbanan. It's not a Meleches Machsheves, it's not a Malach, it's only a Gzera Derabbanan. We spoke about two categories, if you remember, of shinui. Sometimes the shinui, the kalachariyat, is so substantial, like gonech, yonech, you know, and Shabbos, that it's not even dumya to malach. That's only a gzera. But other times we said that it was just a technicality, and the distance between the original kidarko, and the shinui was very narrow. For example, you know, you bring the oil to the fire, right? So how did you bring the oil to the fire? Did you actually hold it in a kli, or did you pour it on your arm? That we said maybe is still considered a malacha derabana, because again, it's similar to a malacha. For example, would I be allowed to climb trees on Tosefes Shabbos?
Yeah.
Well, assuming the way Rav Shach said, assuming it's only a gzera, Shema Yitlosh, then it should be mutter during Tosefes Shabbos.
Play ball, anything that's
well, playing ball, that's he's going to have a whole discussion about caramelists. So that's the sheet of rug.
In my backyard. Playing ball in my backyard, shooting hoops. In my
so what is it, Uvdu the Chol or something?
The or there's also Taka Gzeira Shema, you're afraid that Shema Tikkun Kli. Then maybe it'll be Metaka.
Oh, you mean he might blow it up or something?
Yeah,
or I see.
Zeros.
Okay.
Because of Avshamim,
and basically, it comes out that, you know, all of our Shabbistic experiences have really terminated with Seisach Kochavim. You know, go out and find the three stars and that's it. I mean, you're telling the guy to do the malachas, you're blowing instruments, and you're carrying muktzah. You basically, you know, the whole ambiance of Shabbos has sort of terminated, because the rest of this is all gzeres.
Right.
But heavy duty malachas, whether they're doraisa drabanan, that's going to be prohibited until after Avdol.
Right.
So that's what we have over here. I don't know, he tells you to look in Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Samach Gimel Sif Yud Zayin. If you get a chance, tell me what you find over there. I hope it won't be too complicated. Okay.
So this is about Yisrael. If you already accepted Tosefet Shabbos,
So that really doesn't.
And the Rama says
that doesn't. Yeah, that doesn't do it for me, because that's even a malacha. He's not talking about a gzera. No, even a malacha. Yeah, so that, I don't know. Honestly, I'm not sure what he means there. I in Shulchan Aruch Reish Samach Gimel Sif Yud Zayin. I don't know. That footnote number 10 on the left column. Alright. Now, Rabosai, there's something very similar to Tosefes Shabbos, but different. And that's called Bein HaShmoshos. Now, Bein HaShmoshos is a complicated sugya. The Rugged Shava used to say about Bein HaShmoshos that it's both Yom and Laila, which is very paradoxical. And it's Arkava Mizugit. But for our purposes, let's assume that real Shabbos, if we could say it that way, begins with Tzeisach Kochav. Bein HaShmoshos, which is after sunset, is sort of a chumrah. Why do I say it's a chumrah? So he has a sugi here, Masechta Erevin, which begins on Lamed Beis, and goes on to Lamed Gimel, Amid Aleph. And this is the famous sugi of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. And Rebbe says that Shvusim do not apply Bein HaShmoshos. It's called Davar Shu Mishum Shvus Lo Gozu Bei Rabbanan Bein HaShmoshos. So Tosfos over there says that this is not an absolute rule that includes everything in it, but rather there are certain cases of the Rabbanans which are prohibited, even according to Rebbe, even during Bein HaShmoshos. Now, if life was simple, then Tosus would point out the exceptions to the rule are Malachos the Rabbanan. That's what I was hoping he would say. But in fact, he doesn't say so. He says that there are Gzeros the Rabbanan that are prohibited Bein HaShmoshos according to Rebbe, even though Rebbe says that Kol Davashu Mishum Shvus, Kol Davashu Mishum Shvus is Mutav Bein HaShmoshos. I was hoping that maybe the exception to that rule would be a Malacha Drabon. But what exception does Tosus have? Ze Oker Veze Meniach. Now, Ze Oker Veze Meniach is not a Malacha Drabon. It's only a Gzera Drabon. What we're afraid of is that if Reuven does the Akira, he might tempted ultimately to do the Anocha. Again, in this case, he didn't do the Anocha, but tomorrow, next Shabbos, he'll do the Anocha. Or, for example, if we allow Reuven to pass it on to Shimon, and Shimon does the Anocha, tomorrow Shimon will do the entire Malacha. So that's a case of a Gzeira Drabbanon, and for some reason, unknown to us, Tosfos insists that that Gzeira Drabbanon applies even B'Bein HaShmashas.
He calls it a Malacha?
He does not call it a Malacha. It's only a Gzeira, because we're afraid that he'll start the Malacha and then end the Malacha. So even though he hasn't done a Malacha, we're not going to allow him to start the Malacha even during B'Bein HaShmashas. So again, this is faulty, you know, scholarship on my part, because I don't have the Tosfos in front of me, but he says here in the name of Tosfos, Kal Lavo Lidei Iser Doraisa. That Tosfos says it's very easy, it's very, what's the word, statistically almost likely, or not likely, but
probable.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to use the word probable, because that sounds like more than 50%. Is there a word for less than 50%?
But
very possible. Okay, whatever the word is. No, possible could mean even 1%. But here it's, you know, it's
likely.
Again,
likely
there's got to be some word between possible and likely, but I need a thesaurus here.
Close,
you know, they say about Rav Parnas, you know, who was one of the great Machanchim in America, that I think I told you this. He used to say, all I need is a Gemara and a thesaurus. Those are the two books I need. Because in Rav Parnas' Shia, everything depends upon the word. And he would show you the nuances in the English language of differences between two words that sound...
It's very feasible.
Yeah, but very feasible. Yeah, okay. Okay. All right. So whatever the word is, Abby, we'll call it feasible. Tosfos says that this gzera of zeh oker v'zeh meniach is very feasible, and therefore it's prohibited, even according to Rebbe, although it's only a shvus, it's only a gzera, b'bein hashmashos. And the Mishnah Brura, we'll open up the Mishnah Brura at the beginning of Siman Shin Mem Beis, goes on and adds what's called pachos pachos midalad amos, meaning in havaras dalad amos bishus harabim, are you allowed to carry something for two amos, put it down, and then carry it for the balance of the two amos? On a Doraisa level, that's perfectly mutter. But Chazal said, we're afraid that, you know, you won't calculate properly, or maybe you'll forget that it's Shabbos, or that it's also to go the other two amos, and you'll violate a Moloch Doraisa Mavir Dalet Amos. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to equate Havaras Shte Amos, right, two amos at a time, as a Gzeira Drabbanon, with Tosfos' case of Zeh Oker V'Zeh Meniach. And therefore he submits that, once again, this would be Aser even B'Nei Shmashos. He adds to the equation a Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufa. Here, I'm not so surprised, because, you know, a Malach HaShein Etzricha L'Gufa is really a Malach, at least according to Shitas HaTosfos, it's just it's not Dumya de Mishkan. And a Malacha Darabonah can't be Mutter B'Bein HaShmashos. But Rabosai, we are inclined to think that the Mishnah Berurah understood that Malach Shein Etzricha L'Guf is only a Gzeira Darabonah. And he lumps it together with Oker, Zeh Oker V'Zeh Meniach, with Mavir, Pachos, Pachos Midalad Amos, which are two classical Gzeiros Darabonah, both of which are Gzeiros Atu Hotzah. And he says that the same should apply to Malach Shein Etzricha L'Gufa. You know, he's digging holes on Shabbos. Okay, he doesn't need the Charisha. But tomorrow he'll dig a hole even if he does need the Charisha. Because after all, you told him last week that he was allowed to build, you know, dig the hole because he needed the offer. He doesn't realize. So that's a Gzeira. And what happens now here, Rabosai, is that life becomes very complicated. Because until now, we really had one goal and one focus, and that is, tell me about the Rabbanans. Are they either A or B? Are they Gzeiros or Malachas? And things were pretty smooth. It wasn't always clear to us if it's a Gzeira or a Malacha, but at least we knew what we were after. now we don't even know what we're after anymore, because now what we're saying is that as far as Bein HaShemash is concerned, Gzeros themselves have to be subdivided into two categories, and there are Gzeros which Tosus calls, again I hope there is such a Tosus, Kal Lavo Lidei Isa Doraisa, and then there are Gzeros which are Rachok Lavo Lidei Isa Doraisa. The first case we're going to say it's a Gzera Chamura, and therefore it's also a Bein HaShemash even according to Rebbe. In the second case it's going to be a Gzera Kala, and it's going to be Mutter during Bein HaShemash. So now we're turning to page Nun Ches, and the Prima Gadim says, I don't understand this whole business about Rebbe. What do you mean Bein HaShemash? Bein HaShemash, by definition, is Tosefes Shabbos. Let me explain. You may have decided that you're going to wait till Tzeis HaKochav until you accept upon yourself Shabbos. You want to open it up for me if you don't mind?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. So we're looking at Tosfos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph in Erevin Dibra Maskel Vaha, and at the same time maybe Rav Gedalia, if you don't mind opening up to the Mishnah Berurah at the beginning of Shin Mem Beis, which I thought I opened up on the table here. Oh, thanks. See, humongous Tosfos here. Let's just see. We need a quick skira achas. All right. Anybody want to do this for us? You know, this is a joint effort. Yeah, just look for. Yeah, just look for Bakal. The words in the Vaha. You see the Tos Vaha. Bakal Yachal Lovely Day. Or look for the words Ze Oker Vezeminiach. And see if you can just read out the line that's relevant to us. And then we have the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Mem Beis, correct? Okay, let's see what he says here in Shin Mem Beis. Okay. He says, I don't know why. Oh, maybe I'm looking at the wrong Mishnah Berurah. That's a problem. Oh, here it is. The Mechaber in Shin Mem Beis says, Kol advarim sheim asur midirei sofrim lo gozru aleim b'bein hashmoshos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Loshon kol hadvarim lav davka, the yesh dvarim asur midirei sofrim v'gozru aleim b'bein hashmoshos. V'afilu l'tzarech mitzvah kigon b'simon tof tes, which I assume is Malach Shem Tzrich L'Gufa. I don't have tough tests in the next volume, but okay, fine. And V'chein Mavir Pochos Pochos Mi'arba Amos, which hopefully we'll find in Tosus. Yeah, okay, you have it. And Hatam Hu Mishum Shem Krovim Lovoli De Malach. You have such a thing?
V'nerani De Bechol Hanu Kevan De Bekal Yavoli De Isur De Oraita Fili Rebbe Model De Gazrola Ben Hashmashot.
Okay. So it's, this really throws a whole monkey wrench here, because you know when, who's in charge here? You know, who is authorized to classify Xera as either Bekal Lovely Day Iser Malacha or Bekoshi Lovely Day Iser Malacha? And he writes here Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Chamur Mishar Isuri Drabbanon, which I assume he means Mishar Gzeros Drabbanon. So he's classifying this as a Gzera. The Asu B'chol Gavni Bein HaShemashos. Oh, now he quotes the Prima Gadim. So let me put this on the side. The Prima Gadim, he's here on the top of your page, Nun Ches. And he asks the following question. I don't understand, says the Prima Gadim, the whole premise of this Sugya Rebbe of Bein HaShemashos. Bein HaShemashos, by definition, is Tosefes Shabbos. He's already accepted himself upon himself Tosefes Shabbos. Now, you and I might ask, what is the Prima Gadim hacking over here? What is he chaperoning me about? I wasn't Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos. I insist on waiting till the third star comes out. Now, the answer is that Tosefes Shabbos is not dependent upon the individual, but rather on the tzibur. And once the tzibur accepts upon itself Tosefes Shabbos, then no one's allowed to do malacha. And that's the whole halachic issue, which again, you know, We've made light of it for some reason, but the whole issue of early Shabbos, you know, that they have here, all over, not just in our shul, but I think every single shul here in the neighborhood, as far as I know, has an early Shabbos during the summer, like 7 o'clock. Right. Lo pashut. Halachically, it's not so simple. Not because of agudas. I'm not saying that, you made undermine this, but that, but simply because of the din of Tosefa Shabbos.
Which way are you saying it's a problem?
Well, that's a good point. I'm not sure which is the Iker Kabbalah Shabbos. It could be that maybe when the first minion, but again, that's
very defined seaboard.
Yeah, but if there's a rogue, there's a rogue minion.
Again, I'm just saying, Rabosai, you're going to have, this is a, if Bli Neder, I don't want to, I would love to talk about this. You know, as a separate topic, it's Lo Pashut. In other words, Kabbalah Satsibur is a very powerful tool, and so that has to be worked out. At the time of the Chazal, used to blow a shofar to indicate that the tzibur accepted upon itself the Shabbos.
Yeah, so here you have shuls that start 25 minutes before mincha. You have shuls that start 10 minutes before.
I don't know. It's
they're only accepting.
I don't know how that works.
Too many shuls.
Sorry, let's not get off on a tangent. But anyway, so what's the Prima Gadim assuming? He's assuming that certainly at the time of Bein HaShmashos, that's already Tosefa Shabbos. So how can you tell me that Rebbe is Matir Yashvusim after Tosefa Shabbos? If there's Tosefa Shabbos, then it's Shabbos. You know, they tell a story about the Brisker Rav when he came to Eretz Yisrael. He was on a train coming from Turkey. That was his last stop on his way from Brisk. And he was looking the whole time at his watch. And he's on the train, and the train was scheduled to arrive right before Shabbos, but it didn't make it on time. So he took his passport. Again, I don't know if it's a true story, but they wouldn't tell it about you and me. That's he took his passport, he threw it up in the air, and he said, "Bamir is Shabbos." By me, it's Shabbos already. How he got into the land without his passport, thus basically, I don't know. That part of the story, I don't know. But you have to be a Brisker for that. You know what I'm saying?
They eventually come down with passports. Yeah. So that they found it.
Yeah, they found it, but. All right, in any event, here Rav Shechter goes off on a tangent. He says that there's a sheet of the Rav Shulchan Aruch that. You're not allowed, even if during the year you're allowed to daven mincha after shkia, which is very common amongst Hasidim, but nevertheless on Leil Shabbos, you can't daven mincha after shkia, because with shkia, Shabbos enters. And once there's Tosefa Shabbos, whether you like it or not, there's Tosefa Shabbos with shkia. You can't daven mincha on Shabbos. Okay, that's a sugya unto itself, but the point is, that the Prima Gadim is making a lot of sense, because he's saying, I don't understand this whole sugya in Erevin about Rebbe who's Matir Shvusim Bein HaShmashos, when Bein HaShmashos is already Tosefa Shabbos. If it's Tosefa Shabbos, how can you tell me you're allowed to violate Shvusim? But the answer is, based on that Tosis in Megillah, that Tosis says that even during Tosefa Shabbos, you're allowed to blow the shofar. And why are you allowed to blow the shofar during Tosefa Yom Kippur? Because Chachmi V'yena Moloch, that means Tosefes does not generate an Iser regarding Zeros. And therefore Rebbe pointed out that Bein HaShmashos, since it's only a Suffolk, the Rabbanan did not impose their Zeros during that time period, that Suffolk. You'll tell me, but what about Tosefes? He accepted upon himself Shabbos, willy-nilly, whether he likes it or not. The answer is that Tosefes Shabbos does not engender an Iser as far as Shvusim the Rabbanan. And therefore, Bizman Bein HaShmashos, Lohita Rebbe, El Xeros. But which Xeros? Now we're saying, based on the entire discussion here in the Mishnah Brura, and we saw hints of it in Tosus himself, that this Bein HaShmashos, this whole heter of Bein HaShmashos only applies to what? To Xeros Kalos, but not to Xeros Chamuros.
So now you're subdividing again the Tosefes Shabbos into two. You're dividing the Tosefes Shabbos into Bein HaShmashos and prior to Bein HaShmashos.
Well, not necessarily. I wouldn't go that far. As far as Tosefes Shabbos is concerned, we go back to the fundamental distinction between a Gzera and a Malacha. Once we go a little bit closer and we're now in Bein HaShmashos, whether entering or exiting in both directions, then we could say that even Gzeras are also.
only some gzeros.
But which gzeros? Only gzeros chamuros.
So you subdivided. So you subdivided that time frame.
No,
you subdivided the Tosefet Shabbos into two components.
No. You're confusing us because I think you're mixing up. You're mixing up din and mitzius. You know, it's true that in mitzius, you know, Tosefet Shabbos will always include Ben Hashmash, by definition. That you're right. But conceptually, they're two separate entities. Meaning, as far as the gather of Tosefet Shabbos per se, as an entity unto itself, we're going to suggest that the Tosefet does not include any gzeres, even gzera chamura. So therefore, during this period of Tosefet Shabbos, again, your point is well taken, that ultimately it's going to overlap when it comes closer and closer to Ben Hashmashas, and then we're going to, but even let's say a gzera like Ze Oker Vezemeniach, or Pachos Mi Dalet Amos Bishus Arabim, or for example, Melach Sheni Tzricha Legufa, all those cases would be mutter during Tosefet Shabbos. So let's say, for example, Tosefet Shabbos was at 6 o'clock, and then Ben Hashmashas starts at 6:30. During that half hour period before I get into Ben Hashmashas, I would be allowed to start a malacha without finishing a malacha. I'd be allowed to carry something 2 amos instead of 4 amos in Rishus Rabbah. I'd be allowed to do a malacha shen tzricha legufa, and so forth and so on. Once I get to 6:30, now I'm already into a suffek Yom Sofek Laila, and if it's Laila, forget about Tosefet Shabbos, that Shabbos itself. Here we have to avoid any malachas. And not only any malachas, but any gzeros that are so close to the malacha, meaning they're so, it's such a heavy, what word do we want to use? What do we decide?
Feasibility
that I'll violate the malacha doraisa, that I have to avoid that even according to Rebbe during Bein Hashmash. So I'm only going to allow gzeros Kalos. Okay. Now we're up to Os Ches, right? Wow. This is unbelievable. Rabosai, Os Ches, if there's anything in this article that I want you to take, you know, say to Liderach, we all invite, because this completely, how shall I say, goes out of the bounds. It supersedes the bounds of Shabbos. This is going to touch on half a Shas. It's this os called Gzera L'Gzera. Now, by way of introduction, he assumes, and he doesn't prove this because I'm a skeptic, I don't know how he knows this, that the Chachamim prohibited a Gzera L'Gzera. And you'll see that on line 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Line 6. He says, Gzera l'gzera, asur lahem l'chachamim l'gzar. I wish he would have added a footnote here. I would have said the following, that chachamim are given guidelines, and under those guidelines they're allowed, and they have the authority to enact certain gzeros. You want to say they can't overstep their authority, you know, by instituting gzera l'gzera. Okay, but I wouldn't use the word asur. I don't know. What does he mean by asur? What isur are they violating?
Principle in Shas, lo gazrina gzera l'gzera.
Yeah, but lo gazrina means it's asur, or lo gazrina means it's outside of the pale of the authority of Chachamim. For example, there's something called gzera sheinat zivur yachal lamud po. So let's say the Rabbanan instituted a gzera of Shemen Akum, right? So again, they made a boo-boo, and they thought that we would be able to survive, you know, this gzera. We can't. I wouldn't call it an iser. You know, sometimes the Rabbanan might be tempted to overstep their bounds, and then the gzera is not binding. But I don't know. He used the word iser. I was jolted by that word iser here. But he may have something in mind. But he didn't mention a footnote. Okay. So what does it mean that there's no gzera l'gzera? So he says the following, very fundamental. This is what I want you to take for life. He says you have two fundamentally different categories, and you should not confuse one with the other. One is the overlap of two gzeros. Each gzera is independent, but they overlap together. In other words, they, by happenstance, just by chance, it happens to be that in this situation, I might be in violation of two different gzeros. That's not a gzeral gzera. What's a gzeral gzera? A gzeral gzera is if the chacham would say, don't do X because it might lead you to violate a gzera. That's called a gzeral gzera. If each gzera is independent, one of the other, and they happen to overlap in a situation, so that's a double gzera, and we might be more mekil in this case because it's not only one gzera, but it's also a second gzera. But those two gzeras will apply. And we might say that, okay, since it's this gzera plus that gzera, b'makom mitzvah, b'makom choli, you know, we'll look aside. But that's not called ain gozrin gzera l'gzera. Gozrin gzera l'gzera means when the rabbanon are going to institute a gzera for the sake of protecting you from another gzera. So, for example, the Gemara in Chulin worries about the Isur halal ashulchan, that you're not allowed to eat both meat and milk from the same table because you might come to eat them together. So the Gemara says, so what if he eats them together? He didn't violate any Isur by eating milk and meat together. The Isur of Hosam Chol was only if it was cooked together. So it wasn't cooked together. So maybe that's Gzera L'Gzera. And somehow the Gemara comes up with the principle of Kulachat Gzeri, whatever that means. But we understand at least the fundamental problem with that, because, you know, they're telling you don't do X because it might lead to Y, when Y itself is only a Gzera. Okay. So if this be the case, he has here a whole list of achronim, which he codifies in a different article in Be'er Yitzchak, that say the following. We have a principle called Shvus Dishvus B'makom Mitzvah. And the achronim want to understand, what does that mean, Shvus Dishvus B'makom Mitzvah? Who needs makom mitzvah? Forget about makom mitzvah. Shvus to shvus, shalom b'makom mitzvah, or shalom b'makom chole. It would be asur. Why is it asur? Ain goes in gzera l'gzera. And the answer is because shvus to shvus means we have two independent shvusim that by chance overlap. But it wasn't that one shvus was made for the sake of protecting you and fencing you off from a violation of another shvus. If the purpose of the first shvus was to fence you off and be marking you from a second shvus, that's a problem. But that's ain goes in gzera l'gzera. But that's not what we're talking about. And he goes and he says that, you know, what pushes the Chacham to institute a gzera? You need something called a tzorech. And a tzorech has to be to fence you and protect you from violating a doraisa. But if you're fencing you not to violate a gzera, that's not a day tzorech. That's not enough of a tzorech to allow the Chacham to institute a whole new isa gzera. But what shvus to shvus, which requires makom mitzvah or makom choli, that's a different case. That's two Isurim Drabanan, independent one of the other. Each Gzera was made because it might lead you to a violation of a Doraisa. And that's called Shvus to Shvus. In the light of that introduction, we don't understand Rava in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Aleph, starting on Amud Aleph, going on Tomid Beis. What's the case? Rava says, the Mishnah tells us that a tailor is not allowed to go out with his, they used to take the needle and stick the needle into the garment, into their beged, and that you can't do samach l'chashecha, whatever that samach l'chashecha is. So Rava says with regard to that Mishnah, that when it says, Lo yamo to adam b'shus hayochid v'yishta b'shus rabim. You're not allowed to stand in a private domain, bend over and drink from a shus rabim. Says Rava, those two isurim, one that's codified in the Mishnah, one in the Brisa, one is lo yetzei achayit b'machto samach l'chashecha, the other is lo yamo b'shus hayochid v'yishta b'shus rabim. Those don't apply in a karmelis. So karmelis is a makom p'tur. The rabbanon said you're not allowed to carry there, even though it's a makom p'tur, because it looks like and smells like a reshus harabim. And now Rav is saying that even if it's shalom b'makom mitzvah, or even if it's shalom b'makom choli, you're allowed to violate carrying in a karmelis or alternatively standing in a Rishus HaYachid and drinking in a Karmelis, or the Chayat is allowed on Erev Shabbos to go out with his Machan on Erev Shabbos Somach L'Kasheicha into a Karmelis. Why? So the answer is because it's a double Gzera. So what if it's a double Gzera? Abai makes a lot more sense. Abai says a double Gzera on Shabbos, a Shavuos, the Shavuos is only Mutter B'Makom Mitzvah, B'Makom Cholin. Rava came out and said that since the Shavuos, the Shavuos, it's Mutter even Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah, even Shalom B'Makom Cholin. If Rava would make the point that we have here Gzera L'Gzera, that would make sense, but we're not talking about Gzera L'Gzera. Each Gzera in and of itself was made because we're afraid that if you do X, you might come to violate Haltzah B'Shus HaRabin. If you stand in Rishus HaYochid and drink in Rishus HaRabim, tomorrow you'll stand in Rishus HaYochid and carry some of the water out into Rishus HaRabim. If you carry in a Karmelis, then tomorrow you'll carry in Rishus HaRabim and violate Melechus HaVara. So this is, in the case of a Karmelis, this is just simply a coincidental overlap of two Gzeras. Does everybody see that? If I am violating one Gzera in a Karmelis and Rava says it's Mutter, each Shavuos stands on its own, justified, independent of the other Shavuos. And Abai is right. We have a principle that Shavuos to Shavuos only Mutter B'Makom Mitzvah. How is Rava able to allow us a blanket heter of Shavuos to Shavuos? Comes along Rabbi Kiveger in Shuvis, and he wants to say that in Drabonans there are two different categories. There's a category of a Drabonan which is only a Gzera. There's a category of a Drabonan which is a Malacha. If you have a Malacha Drabonan, then we're not going to allow you to violate the Malacha Drabonan even with a Gzera. And how much more so if you have two malachas derabbanan? The only case that Rava was matir a shvus to shvus shalom b'makom mitzvah was when you have two gzeros derabbanan. In other words, Rava is willing to be mekil and say that the rabbanan will prohibit one gzera, but they're not going to prohibit a double gzera. Meaning, you know, the chayat going out into a karmel is somach l'chashecha. That's a double gzera. First of all, you're afraid he'll forget that he has the machat. And secondly, you're afraid that he'll confuse a karmel with Rishus HaRabim. These are two independent gzeras, but they only are on the level of a gzera. Neither of them constitute a malacha. Again, even though you and I would have said that a karmel is, since it's very similar to Rishus HaRabim, should be awesome in Rabbana B'Torah's malacha. But Rava is saying that that's not so, and it's only a gzera. So now we have two gzeros. So again, Rabbo said, we're not talking about a gzera l'gzera. We're talking about two gzeros. And two gzeros, according to Rava, are mutter on Shabbos, even shalom b'makom mitzvah, shalom b'makom choli. That's the gewaldige chiddush here of Rava, the way Rabbi Kiveger understands Rava.
You don't have to do anything, just do it.
Just do it. In other words, if you're a tailor, go out with your machat on Erev Shabbos Somach L'Kasheicha into a karmelis. You want to stand in Rishus HaYochid, bend over and drink in a karmelis? That's fine. No problem. That's what Rava says. I mean, we'll have to see in Shulchan Aruch, but that's what Rava says according to Rabbi Kiveger. And if this be the case, then we have an unbelievable chiddush. And that is that for sake of a chola, when we're talking about a chola shembo sakona, we're allowed to carry in a karmelis, which is mind-boggling because everything that we do today is in a karmelis. Because our poskim assume, and you'll see in Rav Moshe's Shuvas all over the place, Rav Avad Yosef, that we don't have Rishus HaRav. It just simply doesn't exist. Shisha Reba, blah, blah, blah. So everything that we talk about Rishus HaRav is only a karmelis. That's why we allow Erevin and so forth and so on. If that be the case, then B'makom Choli, if we've now established based on Rava, and Rava is outspoken according to Rabbi Kiveger in this sugya in Shabbos Yudal, that Tiltul B'Karmelis is only a Gzera and it's not a Malacha, then we have to add Karmelis to our original list of B'makom Choli, and now we have something unbelievable. Right. No, what I meant to say by Makom Choli was, if you remember the opening Roman numeral number one of this article, was he had three sugyas in Masechta Shabbos, all of which were Matim Makom Choli. There was Hashmas Kol, because we want to, you know, play music for the Chola so that he can sleep. And we had Amir Lenachri, right, to apply a medicinal thing. And then we had Mukta. All those were Mutter B'Makom Choli because they were only Gzeres D'Rabbanan. Then we added to boot that during Tosefes Shabbos, you're allowed to violate a Gzeres D'Rabbanan. And even during what? Bein HaShmashos. Okay, there. What was the final conclusion?
That
you need a double shmuz. Okay, that's a little more common. But in any event, in all those discussions, we can now add Tiltul B'Karmelis. Why? Because Rava, by being matir a double shmuz shalom makom mitzvah, and one shmuz is Tiltul B'Karmelis, has defined and subsumed Tiltul B'Karmelis under the category of a gzera. So wherever we said that there's a fundamental difference between a malach and a gzera, and with matar gzera, we can add Tiltul B'Karmelis to the list.
Also
the chayat. Yeah, let's say, for example, if the chayat, well, again, let's say before Samach L'Chashecha, he accepted, okay, so that's not really a chiddush because it's not Samach L'Chashecha. Oh, here would be a beautiful example. On Motzi Shabbos, he hasn't made Avdolah. He's extending his Shabbos through Tosef Shabbos. He wants to stand in Rishus HaYochid and drink in Rishus HaRabim. Then Rav is saying that that's a Gzera according to Rabbi Kivega. So this is fascinating because really what we have to do now is go over the entire article and just list all the cases of Gzera Derabbanan and all the Nafkaminas by calling it Gzera. We're pretty close to doing it, but just I'm afraid that Minchas in a few minutes.
All the Chutzlans that don't have an Eruv, one of the biggest things, one of the biggest issues are that women with kids can't go to shul, you can't eat at other people's homes. So according to what he's saying, if you have a guy can take the baby from my house to the shul, or my house to somebody else's house. You're just going through a Karmelis.
Correct. So it's number one, Karmelis, which is only Gzeres D'Rabbanan. Number two, it's Amirli Akum, which is only Gzeres D'Rabbanan. So that's what he talks about in the next paragraph. And guess what? Just to make life complicated, we've assumed that Amirli Akum is only Gzeres D'Rabbanan. I got news for you. Sometimes it's only Gzeres D'Rabbanan and sometimes it's a Malacha D'Rabbanan. And this is based on a sugya called Yesh Lichus Li'akum, which, believe it or not, is tucked away somewhere in the middle of Bab Metzia. Bab Metzia is a gigantic Masechta, and when you get to page 71b, you have the sugya of Shlichus Li'akum, and although Midaraisa Goy could never be a Shlich, but Midarabbanan there is Shlichus Li'akum, and that's a sugya Bab Metzia, which is presented here on page Nuntes in the paragraph on the left column called Achen Niral Yashev. And basically he wants to understand what's the story with Amir Liakum and a Karmelis. As Rav Gedalia said, according to everything we said in the Rav Kivega, then Amir Liakum and a Karmelis should be Mutar on Shabbos, even if it's Shalolitzarach Mitzvah and Shalolitzarach Chol. How much more so in your case where, you know, maybe carrying the whatever the food or whatever it is makom mitzvah. And he says that la'alocha, the poskim don't allow Amir Liakum in carrying it a Karmelis. And he says why? Because this seems to undermine everything that Rabbi Kivega said, because we've already established clearly that Amir Liakum is only a gzera. So he says no, there are two categories, Tzvei Dinim and Amir Liakum, and this requires a whole essay on Amir Liakum. He doesn't really give us the guidelines. When is Amir Liakum Echomim Hadraga, when is it upgraded to the status of a Malacha? And when does Amir Liakum remain in a downgraded Gzera? He says, how can you even dream or entertain the possibility that Amir Liakum is a Malacha? You didn't do anything, right? We've said millions of times over and over again that every Malacha by definition requires a Kumbaseh. So he quotes the Rashi Bab Metzia that says Amir Liakum, that Rashi says about Metzia that there's such a thing called Shlichus Liakum Lechumra. Again, we have to learn that sugya. That in certain Isurim, we're going to say that if you send a guy to do the Isur for you, then it's considered as if you did the Isur yourself.
And if you send him to do a mitzvah?
If you send him to do a mitzvah, then it would have to be what's called a chovas chefza. But that's a private comment. You know what I mean, Alan. But I can't take the time now.
Yeah,
right?
Yes.
So he says the following, that if l'chumra through Amir Eliakim, it's as if the guy was your shliach, it's as if you did the malacha. Again, I don't know, that seems to undermine everything we've been saying until now about Shevi Altasa, because alright, it's considered as if you did the malacha. Even Isha Mishum Chitzo and the Muki Yosef is considered as if you did the avar, but yet it's mutter, because your body is in a resting position. He says, Lefi Atam Hasheni, according to the second categorization of Amir Eliakim, is what? As a shlichus case, and then we have to analyze, that's the Mogen Avraham about Mokum Mitzvah, Shehu Inyan Shel Shas Hadchak Hu Demekilin. So he's saying the following, that if you upgrade Amir Eliakim to the level of a Malacha Derabbanan, then how will we matter it? The Makom Choli, and the answer is that Makom Choli is considered a Shas Hadchak. And B'Shas Hadchak, we're allowed to drop the ball on Shlichus, in the case of Amir Lenochri, and consider just the Gzeira D'Rabbanan. But we have to have a urgent, pressing reason.
Is that the Tzorch Mitzvah as well? Would that also be Shas Hadchak?
And maybe the Tzorch Mitzvah would also, I don't know, he discusses only Choli here. But again, you know, in the next case, in the next paragraph, he discusses Makom Mitzvah, but as far as Choli is concerned, we're going to overlook the fact that there is such a thing as Shlichus Liakim L'chumra. We're going to define Amir Liakim as a Gzeira, which is Mutav B'Makom Choli. However, in the case of Tiltul B'Karmelis, and there's no Chole, again, this would be a great heter, Tiltul B'Karmelis for a Chole, right? If we say that Tiltul B'Karmelis is a gzera drabana, which is mutter b'makom choli, but he wants to suggest that Amir Eliakim is much more of a problem unless you really have a choli. So he says, "Ein lanu lahatir tiltu b'karmel say they akum itam shtei gzeros." In other words, it's not a shas hadchak. There's no pressing need. We're not going to apply the principle of shtei gzeros. That's Rava's principle in Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. To be matir tiltul v'karmel sayidei amira l'nachri. Why? Because amira l'nachri is upgraded to the status of a malacha. When does Rav apply that you can have a shvus to shvus? That's mutar shelo b'makom mitzvah. That's if each shvus is only a gzera. But if one of the two is a malacha d'rabbanon, then Rav admits that the shvus to shvus shelo b'makom mitzvah is not enough. So we're going to assume that amira l'nachri is an upgraded, serious violation through shlichus of a malacha mekumvase. So if it's a malacha derabanan, you can't be matir it through shvus to shvus unless you have a makom mitzvah or a makom choli. So that which we saw at the beginning of this presentation, that you could allow a amir l'nachri for a chola, that's because a chola is a pressing need, and that gives us the license to downgrade a amir l'nachri to the level of a gzera, rather than subsume it under a malach drabanan because of shlichus liakum.
If it's midin shlichus liakum, would there be a difference then if I tell him to do it kela achar yad or not? Because then it's...
I don't know. Bechlal, we have to ask the question whether there is such a thing as kela achar yad with regard to a gun. I'm not sure.
I'm only saying that.
I don't know. For that, I really have to check the post because I'm afraid to say anything. And finally, because we're going to have to daven mincha, the last paragraph here, he says that with regard to Amir al-Nachri in Bein HaShmashos, because again, we said that during Bein HaShmashos, Rebbe allows a gzera l'gzera, correct, a shvus to shvus.
Yeah,
a shvus. What was it, a shvus?
Shvus kal.
A shvus kal. Oh, yeah. Oh, so we categorized it under shvus kal. So then how do you deal with Amir al-Nachri? Is that a shvus kal?
Right, that's the question.
So that's what he says. There's a lot of issues on this. All right, the next section is about Chol HaMoed. The section about Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesi, I think we spoke about, the Reb Kivega. And then we have Maisa Shabbos. So we didn't get to the section on Maisa Shabbos. So maybe I'll just wrap it up a little bit next time. But officially, you know, Tam and Ishlam, you know, we could take out a bottle of schnapps and make a seum on this mic. Okay, then?
By the time of the year, now right now, you're allowed to give a going to the little shop.